Hey, everybody. You are listening to WVEW LP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio. It is Wednesday, February the 3rd, 9 p.m. A little bit after 9 p.m. You're listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
So much to talk about.
Yes, indeed. Lots of stuff to talk about.
So last week, we told you all that you should be packing your bags and going to Hawaii. If you could just take 2 seconds real quick and unpack your bags, that's not exactly where you want to go right now, because Hawaii lawmakers declined to vote last Friday, on a bill that would have allowed same-sex civil unions, effectively doing away with the measure. State House leaders said...
No, we still want them to go. We just want them to go with their activist hats on.
Yes,
now,
go with your activist.
Their vacation and getting married hats
exactly.
on.
Exactly. So you can bring your rings with you, but I would not maybe send out the wedding announcements just yet.
I guess it would have been civil union announcements.
Civil
anyway,
union, yes.
Whatever.
It's not happening. It's not happening just yet. Maybe it'll happen in the future. But State House leaders said a narrow majority of representatives would have voted for civil unions, but they decided to indefinitely postpone a decision on whether to grant gay and lesbian couples the same rights and benefits the state provides to married couples. Civil union supporters in the crowded House gallery on Friday shouted, "Shame on you," while opponents cheered. I love the fact that people cheered, that it was something that they felt like, yay, those people don't get our rights. Yay.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
What an interesting part of history we're living in right now.
Hey, were you ever a brownie or a Girl Scout?
I was.
What does that even mean?
It's one of the age groupings.
Okay.
Brownies are, I think it's elementary school, and then you're a junior. And
how many of those things were you?
A lot of them.
Did you do it for a while?
I did.
Did you get badges?
I did.
They do that for the girls too?
Oh yeah, you have sashes or a vest with the
oh,
badges.
Look at you. And which one were you most proud of?
I don't remember any of them.
Come on.
I really don't. I don't remember any.
You don't remember even one badge that you
got? No, we weren't really badge-centric.
Gotcha. Well, I bring this up because this past Monday, 26 members of our Congress wrote to the Boy Scouts of America asking them to end their discriminatory practices. U.S. Representative Gary Ackerman, a New York Democrat and co-signer of the letter, said the Boy Scouts' policies must change. This is what he said in a news release. "I'll always be a proud Eagle Scout." Is that higher than a Boy Scout?
Oh, yeah.
I have no
Eagle
idea.
Scouts are the ones that hang in there till like the end of high school and do a major project.
So he said, "I'll always be a proud Eagle Scout, but this discriminatory practice must end. Rejecting a Cub Scout's mothers from volunteering just because of their sexual orientation doesn't comply with the Scout law I recited at Scout meetings." So they're trying to end the discriminatory practices of those Boy Scouts.
Were you ever a Boy Scout?
Are you kidding? I assume that my town had that, but I wouldn't even know. So that would be...
Not even like a Cub Scout?
No.
Just the little baby ones?
No. Nope. Really?
Nothing.
It was me and Carly Adler and Matthew Adler running around the neighborhood. That was our little troop.
And that's it.
That was...
You guys got into a lot of trouble, didn't you?
You know, we really didn't, but we liked to
Were you totally
we
lame as a kid? Is that what you're saying?
So I'm going to play a song
you were totally lame.
Right now.
Aww. I was a Girl Scout. That's pretty lame.
This is our shout out. I'm just moving. Do you see how I'm just moving on? Just moving on,
I
folks.
Didn't mean to say that Girl Scouts are lame.
So this is a song requested by tonight's guest. I love tonight's music. I kid you not. You're going to think, oh, Ken requested this. I didn't.
He enjoy. Did.
No, I really didn't. Here you go.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep and find I'm king of the hill of the heap. These little town blues are melting away. Up to you, New York, New York, New York.
My mom is going to be so excited when that song comes on.
You are so excited.
I love that song. That song is such a part of my childhood, of just my mom singing it and playing it. And
how much did you pay our guest to request that?
I didn't. Hey, so speaking of paying, I'm running a little bit of a fundraising drive.
Again?
And it's, I know. Oh, shoot. You make it sound like I do these all the time. I don't. But this is a really, really easy one. So I am committed. I am going back to do the AIDS Life Cycle. It's AIDS Life Cycle 9. You can read all about it at AIDSLifeCycle.org. Everyone should do it. But I'm not working the food crew this year. I had my fill of the food crew.
Oh, yeah.
This year, I'm
doing
gear and tent. So I help load all the stuff into the trucks. And
you're
then
gonna
I get
be
it
so
out of the trucks.
Over that the first day. You're going to be like, food.
I miss the vegetarian line. No, so I'm running a little bit of fundraising. So this is my goal. I think that it's so much better to get a ton of people to donate a little bit than to get a few people to donate a lot, though.
Why?
I will take a lot. Because we're spreading the message. So I created what I'm calling the 9x500 challenge. So I am trying to get 500 people to donate $9. That's it. I don't want $10. I don't want $8. Just $9. I'm not asking for $25. It's not $50. $9. That's it. That's reasonable, right?
Well, I guess.
You'll give me $9.
Right? I'll totally give you $9.
So you can find the link. It's either on the homepage. I put it on the homepage of our website, thisshowisogay.com, and you can link up to it. Or if you're right by your computer right now, it's www.2tofighthiv.org/goto/9x500. Just $9, please, if you're listening, maybe. And based on the number of people we have listening, I can reach that 500 very quickly. So the catchphrase of the week is definitely "Don't ask," and Becca, "Don't tell." Have
you
been following
this? How do you feel about
this? Yeah. I don't know. I think it's actually the poll. This week's poll, I thought, was a good way to gauge how both of us feel about this. So, Becca,
yes,
do you really think the Pentagon needs several years to lift the ban on gays in the military? And here are your three choices. Choice one, I'm glad the Pentagon is finally moving on this. Let's wait and see what their timeline is. Choice two, if they're going to do something, they should do it right. The U.S. military is large and they need time to figure out logistics. Or choice three, this is just a stall tactic. There's no way they need several years to repeal this ban. Military officials need to stop discriminating against gays.
I'm going with the last option. How about you?
I am going with the last option as well. 77% of all respondents went with that last option. So people are just frustrated. So if folks didn't read, the whole deal right now is it was going to be this big announcement. Indeed, there was this big announcement, but it was that they're going to study it for a year. And we can't rush into this.
Well, we're going to probably try to repeal it eventually, probably.
Yeah.
Was basically the message.
We maybe, probably.
And so many of my friends were so excited. They sent me messages like, they're going to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I'm like, okay, great. I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, they're like, but I mean, this is better than Bush's stance. I'm like, well, sort of. At least he followed through.
Now, I know this is...
He never said he would.
I know this
is
so basic and so silly, but some of the arguments against it, I just didn't understand them. So McCain was furious. McCain was so annoyed. We're fighting two wars right now. We can't take this on. Well, doesn't this open it up then to more people? We need more people.
I don't know. It just seems so weird to me that they make it such a quality of life issue. Right. They're like, well, it'll be uncomfortable. Getting shot at, getting
very
blown up, pretty uncomfortable already. I'm just saying.
And you say that as a woman who has served.
No.
In the Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
I knew that. Hey, can we move on from that? I don't really have a lot to say about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It was such a non-story to me. I mean, there was this big press conference, but...
No, they should keep talking about it. I think it's important that they are talking about it. I just...
You can't get all riled up about something that hasn't really happened.
It seems so obvious to me.
Yeah.
I don't have much patience for the people. Some of the statements that have been coming out are so unbelievable.
Well, this got Colin Powell's for it, but John McCain's against it. And John Kerry's confused why everyone's mad at him, which I don't even know if that has to do with this story, but I was reading that earlier.
It goes on and on.
In a much happier news, the U.S. tax court... issued a highly anticipated decision about gender reassignment surgery on yesterday, ruling that the treatment is indeed tax deductible. The decision reasoned that gender identity disorder qualifies as medical care and procedures to deal with it are tax deductible. According to a news release from the Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders, which represented one of the plaintiffs, the decision sets a precedent, and this was a quote from them. In an opinion reviewed by the full bench, the United States Tax Court affirmed that medical treatments for GID, including surgery and hormone therapy, are deductible medical expenses. Moreover, the court stated that the IRS's positions that such treatment is cosmetic in nature is at best a superficial characterization of the circumstances that is thoroughly rebutted by the medical evidence. This is a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Tax deductible. They're very expensive, I was reading.
Yeah.
So very, very expensive surgeries. And hormone therapies and whatnot.
And that's an ongoing cost that lasts...
many, many years.
Many, many, many years.
But good news, good news. Tax deductible. So that was going on.
Have you done your taxes yet, Ken?
Andrew, have I done my taxes yet? Andrew, are you listening? I don't do them. Do you know how... You do your own?
I do.
Do you see how I'm on the air asking people for $9? Isn't that just like someone who doesn't do his own taxes?
That's kind of sad.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. No, I don't do my own taxes. I don't.
Andrew, you're a saint.
Well, the big question we have right now, because I know everyone wants insight into my personal life, is whether we join our finances.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of drama.
Yeah,
a lot of drama with joining your finances.
That's a big question. A lot of people can't come up with a good answer for. Yeah. It's so hard to keep them separate, though.
Yeah, I manage just fine.
No, but just living with someone,
absolutely,
you know, who bought the groceries or whatever, it winds up playing into it, too.
Right.
And that can start fights.
No, we're okay with that. I don't know.
I mean, I can't picture you guys fighting over that, but...
Well, now we will, because we put it out there. Anyway...
I'm sorry.
It's okay. So, from New York, we are going to now move to a whole different part of the country. One might say it's San Francisco. It's where tonight's guest left her heart. Enjoy.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill, it calls to me to be where little cable cars climb halfway to the stars. The morning fog may chill the air. I don't care, my love waits there in San Francisco. Above the blue and windy sea, when I come home to you, San Francisco.
So good. So good. All right. It's time to welcome a guest. Guest, are you there?
I am here.
Fantastic. Welcome. Let's introduce you. So if you guys want some insight into the success of GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, look no further than tonight's guest, Kathy Renna. In her 14 years at GLAAD, 14 years...
I was 12 when I started.
Okay, that's what I thought. I actually thought you were 11, but you just outed yourself as a year older. But that's okay, Kathy. Kathy served as a primary spokesperson as well as GLAAD's first national news media director. Since leaving GLAAD, Kathy has worked through her own firm to increase the visibility of clients such as the Matthew Shepard Foundation, the Point Foundation, Family Pride, and the Williams Institute. In her 17 years working in media relations, Kathy has garnered placements in every major newspaper and television outlet in the country. You can catch her as what I like to call one of the go-to gays. Just an amazing spokesperson on LGBT issues. Are you good with go-to gay?
I appreciate that. Thanks. I like that.
No, it's a good one. You can put that on a business card, Kathy. Just quote me. She's been on O'Reilly, Factor, Hannity, and...
there's room. Yeah.
Hannity and Combs, CNN, and she was just named to our favorite list of all of the lists, the Out 100, with a fantastic picture as the moderator of the debate club. Kathy Renna, welcome to this show, So Gay.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. It's great to be here.
How is everything going with you?
Things are great. I'm in Dallas. I am at the Creating Change Conference with about 2,000 other queer activists, so it's going to be quite a week and rest of the week and weekend here.
It's an exciting time there. Now, are you giving any presentations? What are you doing there?
I am doing so many things. I'm going to have no time for any fun, probably. But I'm doing a bunch of different presentations, some media trainings, a few discussions about the state of the movement, and one training that is about crisis communications, which I'm really looking forward to. It's kind of fun because, you know, people never know how to handle a crisis, and you know, that's what Creating Change is all about. It's about, like, sharing skills and experiences and working with, frankly, lots of new young activists who want to learn. And it's really, really fun.
I've never been, so I should go.
You should go, yes. It's kind of it was described once by a lesbian comic as a queer Mensa circuit party.
Nice.
And that's kind of what it is. You know, 2,000 of us in a hotel, you're going to have some craziness and fun and also a lot of work. So it's really a fantastic experience. I think I've only missed one, and that was, you know, for the birth of my daughter. So
oh, you and your
I guess that's a good reason,
Kathy Renna. That's what I, now can we, how about that out 100?
That was the more makeup than you will ever see on my face, ever.
We've been talking to a lot of people who were on, who were in the Out 100. Tell us, where were you when you got the email, and what was your reaction?
Well, Aaron emailed me, and I was thrilled. In fact, I jokingly emailed back to him, thanks, I'm glad it only took 20 years to get in the Out 100. But I'm usually so busy trying to get other people in the Out 100, because that's my job, because my clients love being in the Out 100. But it was really, really exciting. I mean, it was especially exciting this year because I got to be in the I-100 with some people that I work with and I love and I care about, like Moises Kaufman.
Right.
The Laramie Project, and he was one of my dearest friends.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. And it was fun to be in the picture with Carrie Elleveld, who I just adore and have a great deal of respect for. She does such good work in the Spade at the Washington Post. And, you know, it was fun to wear a tie for the first time, which was shocking. People that I've never worn a tie before, and also have, you know, that much makeup on. But so, it was sweet. I mean, it's one of those kind of kitschy things. Like, how do you pick the most important 100 gay people every year? I have no idea how they do it. There must be some secret of like sausage making that they do that. But
you did something right last year.
Yeah, you did well. No, we had Aaron on the show about a month ago, and he said that Becca and I we're in like the 180s. So can you help us get into the low 100s?
So he has a list and he just keeps going down it. Well, you know, hope that a lot of celebrities don't come out, because that's usually a real easy fast track.
So annoying. So if they stay in the closet, we move down from 180. All right, let's talk about Kathy. I mean, it was just I know it was a really short couple sentences in the At 100, but the quote was just a fantastic quote that you had in there, and I'm going to read it to everyone. Quote from Kathy Renna, tonight's guest. Quote, our clients come to put their issues on the map and change the way people think about the community. Our community's biggest obstacle continues to be visibility of our full diversity and complexity. We have made progress, but still have a long way to go. Where is the gay community right now with visibility, Kathy Renna?
I think it's a really good question. I think it's something we really need to talk about, because the reality is that we have made significant progress, but if you really look at what's out there, you just don't see the diversity, whether it's around race or gender or age. You know, many of the different parts of our community that are still very invisible, people of faith. That to me is really why I feel like our firm is doing some really important work, because we work with, for example, SAGE,
yes,
Services and Advocacy for Gay and Lesbian, Bisexual and Transgender Seniors. You know, we put old gay people on the map a couple years ago, and now people are starting to pay more attention to the issues, and not just the visibility piece, but that translates into policy. You know, the Obama administration has been, frankly, amazing, and is about to announce the recipient of this new never-before LGBT Resource Center out of Health and Human Services.
Oh.
I mean, that's just incredible.
That
so,
is great.
Yeah, I think that we really have to sit back and look at the representations that are out there and say, not just what's there, but look at really what's missing. You know, Will and Grace is great, and Ellen is great, but really after those big moments in the early 90s, the late 90s and the early 2000s, I mean, I think we're just not seeing the kind of progress that I think we should be.
Well, I have to tell you, so right before, about an hour ago, I was just doing my last check of any big news stories that Beck and I want to talk about tonight. And I was looking at theadvocate.com, and it was just kind of a hilarious little case study in how the gay community represents itself. These were three stories right in a row. So the first story, and it was just the headlines, three headlines right in a row. The first headline was Senators Propose DC Marriage Referendum. Good. The third headline was Powell backs Gates Mullen on Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal. Good.
Good.
Sandwiched in between these two was Kellen strips down to his Calvins, which was about some guy from Twilight, which I did see, but I don't remember this guy, who is, there was not, the word gay was nowhere in the story. To my knowledge, he is not gay, but it was just a story about how this Twilight star is doing an underwear ad.
Okay, first of all, we have to cover the fact that you saw Twilight another time.
Well, that's a whole different day, Becca.
Hey, don't make fun of Twilight.
Oh, thank God. Thanks for coming on the show, Kathy Renna.
It's another show. I'll come back.
It's a whole different show. It's
okay.
A whole different show.
Let's focus.
So it was just such an interesting moment of, okay, so we have this, so marriage equality and don't ask, don't tell, and then gay underwear. But there wasn't gay. It was just because it was an underwear story, so it was gay. And I didn't know what to do with that, and I thought that you could, unpack that for me, Kathy.
I'll unpack a package of underwear for you. You know, what it really boils down to, I mean, it's a great example, because what it basically says is that we need to understand that the media is a business, right? Because
right.
That's really, I mean, they're thinking about their audience, and the folks who go to the Advocate's website are primarily gay men.
Right.
I mean, I go to the Advocate's website, and I know there are other people who do too, but their primary audience, the primary target for their advertisers are gay men. So, yes, they absolutely, you know, understand that they need to have news up there, like what's happening in Washington and, you know, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell stuff. But they also need to have a mix, and they need to get stuff that gets people's attention. And the sad thing is that, for the most part, in the culture, we celebrate and care about things like this guy stripping down to his underwear.
Right.
And not policies that affect our lives or, you know, the possibility of marriage equality in the next month in our nation's capital, which would have amazing impact around the country, right? So I think it's laying blame is not something that I find productive or useful, but I think the reality is we need to look at, you know, it's a very chicken and egg thing. We blame the media, but it's also about the consumers. And if we as media consumers demand something different, something better, I mean, that's what I do for a living. It's what I did at GLAAD as an activist, and what I do now as a communications professional, is you demand something different, and you demand something better, something more substantive. But you have to demand it. You have to, as a consumer, ask for it and demonstrate to the media, which at the end of the day is about the bottom line, that it's going to be good for business for them. But you're right. I mean, you bring up a really important point and an excellent example.
So what I hear you saying is that perhaps I shouldn't have clicked on that story more than the other stories.
Well, you know, I think, you know, the point is you, what you did is what probably most people did when they went to the site.
Okay.
And I think that that's just the reality. I mean, we live in a culture that is, you know, just drenched with a worship of celebrity, you know, that is just, you know, very much overwhelmed by, you know, so many of the things that, you know, impact our community in many ways in terms of the images, whether it's racism or sexism or ageism, you know, class issues. You know, that's the huge challenge that our community faces, is that, you know, the vast majority of the time, you know, the images we see, whether they're, you know, characters in entertainment or whether they're, you know, real people, they're usually gay white men,
right,
in a fairly privileged position.
Yes.
And I think we need to change that. And certainly there are other images out there as well. I mean, Ellen DeGeneres alone has done so much,
yeah,
just by being herself and being out. But try and name an incredibly visible, well-known person of color who's LGBT.
Angina.
Someone who's older. Right. Well, you know.
Sorry, I'm just going with our guests.
It's not easy.
It's really not. Now, what do you make, as a communications guru, what do you make of all this Super Bowl hullabaloo?
Oh, you know, the Super Bowl ads are just... It's really interesting. I think that... I mean, I'm really glad that, no pun, that GLAAD is holding CBS's feet to the fire, as are lots of other folks, because I think what often happens is we see this huge double standard at play. I mean, the ad that the pro-life or the anti-abortion ad,
right,
they want to run, you know, it's clearly political. It's clearly, I think it clearly falls under the rubric of controversial, and yet they're turning down other ads.
Right.
And
right.
You know, at the end of the day, it's, like I said, we like to think we've made so much progress, but let's look at the reality. I mean, we've seen some progress with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, you know, in the last few days, and that's been really heartening. We passed the hate crimes bill,
right,
last year, and the president signed it. But, you know, the reality is we don't have job protection for LGBT people in this country. at the federal level. You know, we don't have basic rights in place. And so it's really that disconnect between the fact that lots of us can be more out and be more comfortable in certain spaces. It sort of deludes us a little bit
right.
when we think about folks who are in other places where it's much more difficult to be out.
We're in Vermont, and it's hard to keep in mind that when you travel around the country, that it's not the same.
It's absolutely not. You're absolutely right. And, you know, like I'm in Dallas, and, you know, Dallas is in Texas, as we all know. And, you know, but it's a little bit of a bubble here. Once you get outside Dallas, it's really hard to be gay.
Well, and then you had Donnie Deutsch, who got on Larry King Live last night and said, I don't even understand why this LGBT-themed ad would even be on during the Super Bowl. Gays don't watch football.
I think there are plenty of guys on outsports.com who would argue with him.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the thing. I mean, it's all about stereotypes and misinformation and sort of misperceptions. It's so easy for people to pass judgment really quickly based on something, you know.
Absolutely.
They've been told, you know, through the culture. And I think that's why this is taking so long. I mean, for people to really learn and understand diversity on all levels,
right.
but particularly around LGBT people, they have to see things over and over and over. It's why, you know, for example, when we work a lot on the marriage issue, and we're working on it in D.C., over and over and over in the media in Washington, D.C., we've asked African-American same-sex couples to be the visible human face of this issue. Because, you know, Washington is a majority-minority city, and people always try and make things into, you know, black versus white. And what they need to understand is that in our city, there is a very large, very vibrant African-American LGBT community. And so those folks have been front and center in this debate, and it has really made a difference. Because you can't have people turn around and say, oh, it's just a bunch of white activists that want to get married.
Right.
It's
right.
not. It's lesbian moms that live in some of the poorer wards of the city that are saying, having access to marriage equality will provide my family with the legal safety net that we need to protect our children. And that's a very different, not abstract at all, kind of thing to show people. And that's what really makes a difference.
I have to tell you, yeah. I was watching, it was so funny, and then we'll ask you about your music, and then we got to get you back to all the gays in Dallas.
Sure.
There was an interview that you did, it must have been Good Morning America, about Anne Heche.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was so funny, because it was like, how many different ways can Kathy Renna come up with to say, well, she's bisexual and that's okay? And it was
right.
it was painful to watch, because I just felt terrible. Because what was it, like George Stephanopoulos? He just wasn't getting it.
You know, it's really funny, because I vividly remember that interview for many reasons. And one of them was because my mother called me almost immediately after on my cell phone and said, you're so nice to him, I would have smacked him.
Yeah.
You know, I basically leaned over to him during the break, and you know, when he did that thing about she switches back and forth, blah, 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 and I think it's on YouTube for anybody who's really interested in seeing it. He leaned over and he said, thank you for correcting me so politely. And I felt like saying, you're welcome. I don't want to look like an idiot, you know, the mean, angry lesbian. Great. Another stereotype. You know, but I think that was a really interesting interview, because it was one of the very few times that someone from our community, and I'm not bisexual, I'm an ally, but, you know, was able to really, I think, articulate in a pretty sophisticated way what it's really all about.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's absolutely silly for us to try and have this world where everything's easy or black and white. People like it to be easy, but the reality is that sexual orientation and gender identity are very fluid things.
I was just yelling at the computer. It was just like, if you ask her that one more time. Anyway, all right, we got to talk about your music, and then we're getting you back to the gays there. You
right.
chose, I think I have a new theory.
Ken is so excited about the music you chose.
Well, this is my new theory, is that when the guests agonize over their musical choices, when they experience some trepidation, I find that those are the best musical selections that come out week after week after week. It's the ones who shoot it back real quick and say, I want to play Lady Gaga for the 18th time.
Yeah.
You came up with some great song choices. So this is the part, Kathy Renna, we'll only make you do a couple of them, where you tell our listening audience what your song choices say about you.
Okay.
So what does the theme from New York, New York by our buddy Frank Sinatra say about Kathy Renna?
Well, I was born in Queens.
Yay.
New York. Now I just work with them. I was born in Queens, and I no matter where I go, I've traveled all over this country and all over the world, but in my heart, I'm a New Yorker, and I think it's the most amazing, wonderful, crazy, overstimulating city in the world, and it's just, it's my home, so I couldn't, that always has to be the first song.
Okay.
Plus, I think the whole sort of gestalt of that song, like, about you've got to make it here, if you make it here, you make it anywhere, I feel like I made it there, and so, you know, it's inspirational.
I was doing a kick line here in the studio.
He totally was.
It's a good thing it's radio. All right, we're only going to make you do one more, because this, I think, is just going to be funny. What does the song that's going to play you out, Got the Bull by the Horns by Katie Lang,
say about
Kathy Renna?
I think that's my motto in life. You got to grab the bull by the horns. And plus, it's about, like, you know, kind of having a lot of fun with a lot of girls, which, you know, I've done too. Now I'm married. I'm married and I'm a mommy. But
yay.
Know, I've certainly had my fun in my 20s and 30s. So, I love that song. I think it's hilarious. And I think it was before she came out, but I think she was desperately trying to come out singing that song. So,
oh, it's good stuff. Now, where should folks go to learn more about you and all the great work you're doing?
Our website is www.rennacommunications, R-E-N-N-A, communications with an S. And I'm Kathy Renna on Twitter. I'm now tweeting. I've been tweeting for a few months now.
Oh, boy.
You just Google my name to find a whole bunch of crazy stuff.
So our hope is that you're going to get us from the high 180s down to maybe like 134 on the at 100.
I'm working on that now.
No, enjoy the rest of Dallas.
She's
but then
a
as soon as you get back.
What are you talking about? We expect to be on the at 100.
Maybe 116, 117. Let's not go too far.
You just hire me. We'll talk about it.
Okay. Kathy Renna, I'm not sure that I can think of anything more important than visibility, and you are doing such incredible work at shining the light on so many different parts of this great community. We are so eternally grateful.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I love it, and it's always an honor. It's been an honor to do this work in the community, and I'll do it until I can't do it anymore.
Fantastic. Thank
awesome.
You so much,
Thank
Kathy.
You.
Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Great. Have a great night. Thanks.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Katie Lang, she's got the bull by the horns.
Indeed.
Such an image.
Oh, yeah.
Such an image. We have a lineup that, quite frankly, is not to be believed at this point. If you have not checked out our lineup, you must, right this second, unless you're driving, stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com and click on upcoming. We have guests booked until, I think it's like the beginning of April.
Ken's been doing good work.
Some of them are repeat guests. Eric Hyman's coming back. Ari Gold is coming back.
That's great.
Some of them are new guests, like Sylvia Allen, who is this amazing, amazing woman who's doing work around Uganda, issues in Uganda that we've talked about every single week. So stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com. On the homepage, as I said before, is the link. If you could perhaps give me $9, that would be great. And then over on the Facebook, that's where you can just type in "This Show Is So Gay" and join our Facebook group. As always, if you were to send us an email at thisshowisogay,
we'll write back
at AOL.com. We'll write back.
We will.
Every time. No email goes unanswered at thisshowisogay at AOL.com.
Unless we don't get it because you send it to the wrong address.
Yes. If you send it to some other thing,
then we won't get it and we won't reply.
I was going to say the name of that other group sounds like our group, but they're not our group.
Those buggers.
And their logo kind of looks like ours.
I know. Those are the ones that I contacted by email when I first saw
them.
You
said, hey, your logo looks like ours and your
show. And now I'm stuck on like 12 of their newsletters because I complained.
So This Show Is So Gay is the name of our show. And that's who
the
you
cool
would be
show.
The cool gay show that's in Vermont, not the one that's in that
wherever other they are.
You got anything going on this weekend?
Lots of things. What about you?
Yeah.
Mine's top secret.
Oh, okay. Well, then I want mine to be, too. I'm going to do my taxes.
That's what I'm going to be doing.
I'm going to stand behind Andrew and say, do my taxes.
Oh, man. You're going to pay for that one. Guess who's doing his own?
Right about 15 minutes, I think I'm going to be learning how to do TurboTax. Anyway, we'd like to give our thanks to Kathy Renna, who called in the middle of a great conference. And all of you for listening. We love you guys.
We do.
We love doing this show. So we have tons of great guests. You will read all about them on our websites. Or just tune in next week and you'll hear them. That's pretty much it for us, folks.
Yeah, we're wrapping it up.
Don't ask us anything. We won't tell you anything. Did you get that? That was kind of like
a
play.
Oh, my God. It was just
the
like the don't ask, don't tell
policy
thing.
So get out there, folks. Create some visibility in the gay community. Give me $9. Go talk to a Boy Scout. This is my new thing. I try to like recap things that we talked about in the little end part. Go grab the bull by the horns. Did I mention, please? Is there any way you can give me $9? And remember, above all else, why be gay when you can be so gay?
You've got the cool